As promised, we are joined right now by a reporter, a host, and an analyst for CBS Sports. A sideline reporter for three Super Bowls. A college basketball reporter. He's a studio host. He was an all-conference lacrosse player. Well, at Delaware, he joined CBS back in 2014. He is Evan Washburn. Evan, it's been a minute or two since you and I have seen each other and caught up. How are you doing? How is life right now that the NFL season is back underway? What's going on?
Not much, Jim. It's great to be back. I miss catching up with you, man. I'm sure we will run into each other at some point in the hotel in the near future. But it's just a thrill, not only to be on the show, I think this is the first time for me, and to just be back rolling with what feels like the right version of the NFL, with these stadiums full and so much of the focus just with what's going on the field.
You know, I appreciate everything you just said, Evan. It's great to have you on this show. I think you're a pro. I think you're an absolute pro. So last season was different in the sense that, well, especially for your job, because you were not able to get on the sideline. What did you learn, Evan, from that experience overall? And then how good does it feel to be back on the sideline with the fans and all the energy?
I learned a lot. I learned how to just be more efficient with what it is I needed to get out of a broadcast. I really boiled it down to, okay, what does the viewer need when this game kicks off and for the 3 hours and change we're on the air? How do I achieve that being in the first row of the stadium and not on the field? So it meant kind of prepping how to talk to coaches, how to get players, how to do all the things that I would normally do, and really took for granted because I could just walk onto the field prior to a game and say, hey, what's up to whoever it may be, Lamar Jackson, and get some final thoughts ahead of a game, or maybe catch up with Mike Tomlin as he's prepping in those final minutes during warmups. You couldn't do that. So I just learned a lot about efficiency and how to plan ahead because I just didn't have the luxury of being on the field. And Sunday, I took a lot of that into the game, being back on the sideline, and really it was about just joy. I mean, I said it in the moment, but it was like medicine to the soul, man, to have Buffalo in full force, and there was a kickoff return 75 yards, Isaiah McKenzie, and I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear Ian, I couldn't hear Charles up in the booth, producer, nothing, and I just had a huge smile on my face because it reminded me of, as much as I love the league, I love all the drama that comes with it, it's about being at those special venues and feeling that energy.
We're talking to Evan Washburn. He's a reporter, a host, and analyst for CBS Sports. You're talking, of course, Evan, about Buffalo and Pittsburgh. You were at that game in Buffalo. Let me ask you about the matchup itself. Pittsburgh was down 10-0 going into halftime, and offensively it looked like much of the same. But then they come out and they dominate the second half. They outscore the Bills 23-6. How different did that Steelers offense look to you after halftime? And maybe share your thoughts about the adjustments they made.
I don't think they look that different. I think what happened was they were able to rely on the experience that is having a future Hall of Fame quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. Because when I grabbed Mike Tomlin and was walking out to start the second half, he made it pretty simple to me. He goes, Evan, we just need to make a couple plays. We need to gain some confidence here. They were starting four rookies, two on the offensive line. They needed to see it happen for them to believe that it could happen. And I think early on, Ben, in that third quarter, was able to make a few plays, and he's got playmakers on the outside. I mean, the Claypool catch that's been on every highlight over the course of the last few days, I think, did a lot of that. And just having a couple chunk plays, 15, 20-plus yards down the field, opened things up. But make no mistake, I mean, the reason they won that game was defense and special teams. And I think this Pittsburgh defense has the potential to be really, really special. They've been building over the last couple of years into that, and they were at their best in week one.
Evan Washburn's joining us. Let me get you to talk about Mike Tomlin. You brought him up. You've covered the league now for 8 years. You've been around the Steelers, Evan, quite a bit during that time. How do you explain the fact, other than he's a really good coach, but how do you explain the fact that no matter what's going on, and no matter how much turnover there is in that roster, Tomlin just keeps on winning?
Because he has no fear. He doesn't waver. He doesn't stress the stuff that doesn't matter. I mean, Jim, you've been around professional sports, you know, a lot longer than I have, but it's surprising to me at times how much coaches in front offices and whatever professional sport will worry about things that appear to not matter. And I just feel like Tomlin is not overly dramatic unless it's time to be overly dramatic. And I think his ability to sort through the noise and really focus in on what matters appears to me, as a guy who's not in that locker room, not being coached up by him, every day as a thing that strikes me whenever we spend time around him. And it should come as no surprise. I mean, he's one of the best coaches to deal with in this league because he just gets it. And I think that type of confidence resonates with professional athletes from 23 to 39, if you're Ben Roethlisberger, and he can handle whatever's being thrown at him, and he just never looks rattled by it. And that, to me, again, from the outside, appears to be one of his greatest strengths.
We're talking Evan Washburn. Evan, what about the Bills and the Bills Mafia? Now, Buffalo came in, obviously, with extremely high expectations and a lot of hype. If you were a member of the Bills Mafia, how concerned would you be after that performance? In other words, is that just a bad season opener, a draw line through it, or are there some red flags and legitimate reasons for concern?
I think there are takeaways from it, Jim. I really feel that the first 4 weeks of the NFL season, while incredibly important because the games matter, really resemble what the preseason used to be. So it's important to not make sweeping judgments or declarations about teams, in my opinion, until week 5 or 6. That being said, Buffalo's got to manage what is now being the hunted team. And they acknowledged that in the offseason. They acknowledged it to us when we spoke to them this week. I mean, it's more challenging to beat teams when teams look at you as a Super Bowl contender. And that's what they are. I don't think that changes. But there seemed to be, at times, with that performance, especially offensively, some tightness and that the jitters that come, not just with week one, because every team, I think, has to manage that, but the idea that everybody's looking at you as an offense that's got to replicate record-setting numbers from a year ago and get to, if not the AFC Championship game, the Super Bowl. And there's a reality to that that they're going to now live with.
We're talking Evan Washburn, covering a lot of ground. Evan, you mentioned the guys on your particular team. Let's do a little inside baseball or inside broadcasting. You work with Ian Eagle and Charles Davis. It's a great team. I mean, it's a great, great team. These are pros. Not only pros, but like exceptional guys. These are two of the best guys that you could ever meet. But last year, again, was a really interesting challenge in the sense that Charles was new to the group, but because of COVID, you could not meet in person in the offseason to develop that kind of chemistry that's so important on the air. So how did you go about doing that, developing that instead?
Well, you're right. I mean, I'm really fortunate to be around two of the best at their position and just two of the best people in the business. I would say we did rely heavily on Zoom calls. Ian, Charles, and I started doing those basically right when Charles got hired. And the cool part was we didn't talk about football. I mean, we'd maybe touch on storylines, things that were interesting in the moment, but we were just kind of getting to know each other as people. We also benefited from the fact that Ian and Charles had done some radio together, had done some things together, and I'd actually done some serious work with Charles on NFL radio. So we'd done a couple four-hour shows in separate locations. And anytime you spend time around Charles Davis, I mean, he makes you feel comfortable and at ease within moments. So you kind of you take what we'd had in some small sample size together prior to him joining the crew, and then those Zoom calls. And then just the fact that all three of us want just us to service the game and the viewer, and that's all we care about. And having that similar vision made it easy for us to kind of all get along. And it's just been fun, you know, week one, again, small sample size, to actually be able to catch up in the lobby together. And we went and got lunch on Saturday in Buffalo. Those are things that are so important to broadcast that we couldn't do at all last year. And I think it's just going to take us to another level this season.
I mean, Evan, in a sense, to let the listener in, it's so true. It's like anything else in any other walk of life. You don't have to like those who you work with, but man, it sure helps if you do. And CBS is just a really different type of place. I mean, I speak from experience. I can show up 8 or 9 times a year and just do these quick hits on the NFL and CBS. There's no reason for those guys to treat me with any kind of respect or like or love at all. But man, open arms every single time. And if they're not happy to see me, they sure do a good job of faking it, man. It's nice, isn't it? It really, and you can speak to it. This is a really amazing group of people to work with.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm glad you brought it up because that's, along with fans in the stands and the energy I would get from being at these games on Sundays, I really miss being around the people that we work with. And it's not just the guys that are on air or women that are on air. We really are a traveling team, and you mentioned it. I mean, I played lacrosse in college. sports have been my life. And the only thing I've been really successful at is being a good teammate. And it's easy to do at a place like where we work and at CBS because it appears big and we do some big events and we do some big deal stuff in our business, but it's really pretty small. And I miss the ability to be around people that over my 10 years there that I've really grown to respect. So look, it just makes you thankful because I never feel like we're working any day, because not only are the things we're covering fun and enjoyable and entertaining, but we get to do it with good folks.
No, it's so true. And I say that not because I'm sucking up to anybody or they scratch my check. I've worked for a lot of these networks. It's not like that anywhere else. It's not special in a lot of other places. Really quickly, Evan, you mentioned, I mentioned, and then you referred to it. You did play lacrosse in college, but at a very high level. You were on a Final Four team. You were a captain. I'm curious, in terms of competing at the highest level in your sport, did that prepare you for the work you do right now?
No doubt, Jim. I mean, I was an English major, but to be honest with you and a lot of your listeners, I know there are a lot of them out there, I was not a good student. I didn't do as well as I should have and try as hard as I should have in academics. I was all about just playing and being part of a team. But I learned so much from it. I learned the idea of biding your time, paying your dues, respecting those that have done it before you, seniority, all those things. And it really served me well because when I graduated, I had nothing in terms of experience in broadcasting. And from the second I was an intern until this weekend when I work with some of the most respected people in our business, I recognize that I have a long way to go. And even though I've been fortunate and I've taken advantage of some good opportunities, I've still got to build. And I just take that mentality from being a part of those teams, whether it be in high school, but especially college at that level, into this business. And it's helped me probably make up for what I didn't get by going to a Syracuse or a Northwestern or some of these schools that churn out these incredible talents. And that's where I really lean on being a former college athlete.
Right, like or Mizzou. That's interesting. Really quickly, what about English? For instance, I only bring that up. I loved English in college, and I also did not. We didn't have a big-time athletic program at UC Santa Barbara. With English, though, are we talking like American lit, British lit, short stories? Did you get anything out of that? Like, what was your favorite part of English?
When it was over.
Right.
I mean, I respect it. But to be honest with you, it was my mom's brilliant. She went to Columbia, and when I had to pick a major, I was just going to pick whatever, general studies. And she said, no, you're going to do English. And she really threw me into the fire because it wasn't just American literature, British literature. There was this class called Text and Context. I still don't even know what it was. I don't know how I survived it. There were some summer schools, some makeups that I had to do it sometimes. But man, I mean, talk about challenge. That was the most challenging 5 years that I had trying to navigate through the analysis of literature, Jim, to me is head and shoulders more complex than what any of these PFFs or any of these analytical firms are doing covering the NFL, because you can really get in the weeds pretty quickly.
The only thing more challenging, Evan, than your 5 years of trying to interpret that was me going to my old man and telling him that I wanted a fifth year and trying to sell that to him. That did not go well at all. He is Evan Washburn, reporter, host, analyst for CBS Sports. My man, Evan, great Jungle debut. Great to have you on. And as you point out, I hope to see you real soon in a lobby or wherever it is, man. Great job.
Yeah, I'd love that. Thanks for having me, Jim.
You got it, Evan. Great job. Pros pro. Evan Washburn, hope you enjoyed that. As much as I enjoyed doing that. That was a blast.